action. What we gonna do about the voting scheme? Oh man, make people scream. Voting scheme. So that, what we gonna do? What we gonna do? Man, we gonna call in vote rescue. What we gonna do? What we gonna do? Man, we gonna call in vote rescue. Come, what we gonna do? What we gonna do? Man, we gonna call in vote rescue. Gonna do, man, we gonna call in boat rescue.
So they won't,
they rescue me, man, they rescue you with the boat machine. You know it's not true. You get the vote after that, son. They're gonna steal the damn election. I wanna tell everybody on the land, don't you rather have paper vote in hand?
Listeners to Vote Rescue Radio with your host Vicki Karp
and Karen Renick.
And we are just having a dynamite show here. We're about to bring up Phil Lindsay in a minute, but just before we do, and I'll give a great bio for him, it's very impressive. We want to bring up just for a moment, we have Penny Langford Freeman.
And I just want to interrupt one second, because when Chuck was on, Penny's name came on the screen. I was hoping we could bring her up, because I was just about ready to ask Chuck, before Penny came on the screen, I said, and tell me about some candidates that you might be supporting.
Yeah.
And what sort of attributes would you be looking for? And lo and behold, Penny was on the screen. So we get to hear what those attributes are.
Penny, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome back to the show. We don't have a lot of time, but we're so happy to have you call in. And was there any specific news that you had for us tonight?
No, I just wanted to know what y'all would do with a candidate that actually told you the truth about your rights. I mean, are y'all
probably kill over, but
we hope to find out soon.
Do you have anybody in mind?
Yeah, I have one person in mind, but you know, I thought that you know Texas may be ready to join with some of the other states in, you know, standing up to the Federal Reserve, and I thought that maybe y'all would have some insight in what you would do with a candidate like that.
Well,
I think if that candidate supported and believed in the issues that we believe in, which is transparent elections and elections where people's votes are actually counted accurately, I think we would rally behind that candidate big time.
Certainly would.
Well, that's really good to hear because, you know, I know of a candidate that is ready to step up and talk about, you know, people's rights and people's voices. And I think that, you know, the people of Texas should be ready for somebody who, like the governor of Montana, is ready to say to Chertoff, you know, y'all need to take a second look at your policies because it's not working for the people of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a contract with the union, and they have violated that contract.
Well, they certainly have, and it's going to take somebody with a lot of guts to point that out and really stand up for the citizens of Texas against the federal government. And we think that you, Penny Langford Freeman, are probably the perfect person to do that as governor of Texas. So we do hope that there will be an announcement, a formal announcement coming soon, that you're going to be running for that race, running for that office.
Well, you know, it takes a lot of people, and one of the problems has been that the monetary policy as far as the Federal Reserve has made it very hard for the average citizen to donate to something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a moral responsibility to the patriots in this state to make it economically feasible to run a race that is really competitive, you know, because mm-hmm. it's going to be really tough as far as, you know, how many people can join in this in the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to know from the general populace, who is ready to be stand up and be counted?
I think that the numbers would be pretty overwhelming, and we'd like to invite you to come back and talk some more about this, maybe in the next week or two if you're available, so we can give you more of a platform. Would that be okay?
That'd be good.
Great.
We'd love to have you on.
And I know you're in Austin this weekend. I'm looking forward to hopefully connecting with you tomorrow afternoon if we can. I'll talk to you off air about that, but Penny, thank you so much for calling in. We're always glad to hear from you, and we do want to hear more from you when we have a little more time. So we'll make that arrangement hopefully tomorrow.
All right. That sounds good, Vicki.
Great. Thanks, Penny. We'll talk to
Take
you
care,
later. You later, okay?
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in. Okay. Penny Langford Freeman, or as we like to call her, Madam Governor, we hope, 2010, who understands about stolen elections with electronic voting and all these other ways of disenfranchising voters, and will make it a public issue if she does run for governor. So thanks, Phil Lindsay, for giving us a few minutes to chat with Penny before we bring you on. So let me tell you all about Phil Lindsay, an amazing election integrity activist from Independence, Missouri, and founder of the organization called Show Me the Vote. By the way, Missouri is the Show Me State. I finally connected those two. Like, duh. Okay. Phil got involved in the issue of election fraud after he was shocked into action by the obvious fraud that took place in Ohio in the 2004 presidential election, after which he formed his organization. And he had started looking seriously into how PCs were being used to steal elections, and he had become suspicious about that because his career as a financial planner and introducing new products, he realized when PCs were first introduced in the 70s, he said he gained an early appreciation for how they could be gamed. And so he began trying to develop counter strategies as an election integrity activist. And Phil and Show Me the Vote have worked very hard to push a citizens initiative petition through the legislative process in Missouri for the purpose of restoring hand-counted paper ballot elections in his state in 2007. And though the effort ultimately did not succeed that time in getting the required number of signatures, there was mass mobilization of many volunteers, tens of thousands of signatures gathered, and I feel probably, very likely, the effort no doubt caused him and his organization to be noticed. So last week during Missouri's primary election, Phil went to vote, was arrested, taken to jail for failure to show a photo ID at the polling place, which, by the way, the request for that type of ID was found to be unconstitutional in Missouri in 2006. So we want to hear the story. We want to hear about what's been going on in Missouri. Phil, are you with us?
I am. Happy to be here.
Well, welcome to Vote Rescue Radio.
Great. Where would you like to start at? It's, as I say, a long and tortuous path, but, I'd love to tell the story.
Well, why don't we start with the arrest? Because I think that, was such alarming news, and then we can sort of backtrack from there back to the initiative, the petition, if that's okay with you.
That's fine. The arrest came about, I've been watching very closely what goes on in the Missouri legislature since 2004. We had a gentleman named Matt Blunt was elected governor, and he is the son of Roy Blunt, and who's the second highest Republican in the National House of Representatives. So we watched, and we began to see that his agenda was, well, the first thing he did was eliminate 140,000 of our poor off of Medicaid in order to balance the budget, and at the same time sold off all of our licensed bureaus in the state of Missouri, or most of them, and eliminated the profit center. So I saw when we got to 2006 that there had been an introduction of a bill of voter ID, and the Democrats in the state were quite concerned about it because we had potentially 200,000 Democrats who would be disenfranchised simply because they did not have time to get the approved ID. Excuse me. luckily for ourselves, it got into the court system and was ruled unconstitutional because it was considered to be a poll tax. It was a cost that was laying upon the voters, and so it was unconstitutional in 2006. They attempted to pass it again this year. It did not get through the legislature. So when I walked in, I was perfectly aware of what we needed to vote with. In fact, it printed the sheets from our Secretary of State's website showing what was proper identification, what was not. I had in February, when I had voted for our in our presidential primary on Super Tuesday, found a gentleman who flat out said, "You will not vote unless you produce a photo of voter ID." I kind of gave him benefit of the doubt. I hadn't seen him before, and I'm thinking, okay, this guy is just, you know, he's remembering the last law. He doesn't know what happened, whatever. But I told him at that time, I will show it to you now, and I will vote. But next time I come back to the polls, I don't expect to be asked for this again. With that in mind, about 2 weeks before our primary here, August 5th, I called up our local election board, the person that I normally spoke to, and asked them whether they had made sure that each of their poll workers knew what was expected of in the form of ID. I was told absolutely they were. So when I walked in, I really didn't expect to have a confrontation, if you can call it a confrontation. But as my son and I walked in shortly after 10 o'clock on the morning of the 5th, a lady was sitting at the first table. She said, "Would you like to vote?" And I said, "Yes, we would." She said, "I'll need to see ID." I said, "Fine." And I handed them the voter ID, or as they call it now, the notification of election card. It's basically the same card. They've just changed the name of it. And she said, "I'm sorry. We have to have something with the signature." So I said, "You know, I don't think so. I believe that, you know, it's real clear here in this printout from the Secretary of State's office what you need. I have brought several forms of identification, but you do not need to see a signature on any of my ID. My signature is in the poll book, and when I vote, you will see me write my name down, and you'll see it match the other signatures that are in there." She looked nervously around a minute, and I said, "Would you prefer to use my bank statement?" That's another of the authorized forms of identification, showing my name, an address, and a date on it. And she quickly looked back at the card, and she said, "Oh," she said, "you're in the wrong precinct." There were two precincts in this particular church basement, 8A and 8C. She was sitting at the table behind 8C, and 8A is my precinct. So we walked the full 4 or 5 feet over to the other table, my son and I did, and a gentleman was sitting behind there, and he said, "Would you like to vote?" I said, "We certainly would." He said, "I'll need to see your ID."
Deja vu.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I think he'd been listening. That's all right. We walked over there. He said, "I'll need to see your ID." I handed him the same card. He said, "I'll need to see a signature ID." I said, "We just went through this. I think you heard that. Could you please call the election board or the Secretary of State or look at the printout that I've brought, because you're asking me for something which it is illegal for you to ask for." He didn't say he wouldn't call. He would not give us an answer. He simply stood up, pointed to the door, and he said, "You either give me an ID with a signature on it right now," or he said, "you get out that door and don't come back." You know, frankly, I was gobsmacked. You know, I looked at him and looked at my son, and I said, "You know, you're asking us to leave or give you an illegal ID." And he said, "You give me a signed ID or you leave now." And I said, "This is my precinct. I can't vote anyplace else, and you're asking me for ID that's not legal. I mean, you're saying get out, or are you going to call the police?" And it was within probably 2 or 3 minutes that the police walked through the door. So I'm assuming that they'd called them very early. There were 6 poll workers there. I knew 3 of them by sight, and I think all of them had been there for a while. And so the police, when they arrived, they said, "You have 3 choices. you can obey their rules. They didn't say law. You can obey the rules they have set up inside, or we will arrest you for trespassing, or you can leave now and never come back. And that really, you know, cuts right down to the point where you've got to think, you know, what's my vote worth? I was not willing to walk away. They were not willing to look at the Secretary of State's printout, and they were not willing to make the phone call. And I said, well, you know, again, I asked the police first. I said, are you concerned about enforcing what these people say are their rules, or are you concerned about enforcing the law? He said, I don't know about the law. Those people are inside. They say that you have to produce a certain type of ID, either give it to them, leave, or I'm going to put cuffs on you and arrest you. And I said, well, then I guess you're just going to have to arrest me. And it took them about 2 seconds to slap those cuffs on me and put me in the back of the car. They started to arrest my son, and I told him, go to the car, go on, leave, and we'll take care of this later, and call a number which I had given him, and that is a number for voter protection in the state of Missouri, and actually it goes into Washington, D.C., and got a hold of them, 1-866-OUR-VOTE, and they attached him to the sheriff's office, who patched him through to the election board. By that time, I'm in the police station.
We got a break coming up here in just a few seconds. So, amazing story. It sounds like Nazi Germany going on here in Missouri. Phil Lindsay, stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Little Black Box. Little black box is all in a row. No printout, no proof, nothing to show. Golden eggs of democracy, where did you go? The foxes have taken the chickens below. Little black box, where your little vote goes. Down and down the memory hole. Oh, where did your little vote go? Nobody knows. Little black box. Little black box.
Back, listeners, this is Vote Rescue Radio. My name is Karen Renick, and I'm here with my co-host, Vicki Karp, and we are in the middle of an interview with Phil Lindsay from Missouri. And Phil was telling us right before the break about a sort of a step-by-step, blow-by-blow of his arrest when he attempted to vote in Missouri during the primary, recent primary. And he was arrested. And so, Phil, please continue. This is really a frightening story you're telling us.
Yes, I think it could be very chilling. I was, you know, I suppose, dealing with these people at the election board on a day-to-day basis. Nothing necessarily takes me by surprise, but I was surprised in this case that they went to the extent that they did for what I had, you know, at that moment on that Tuesday morning. I thought that they were wrapping my knuckles because I was refusing to give them a voter photo ID. And, you know, I've thought about that some since that time, and I think maybe their motive is a little bit different. But as one lawyer called shortly after it happened, it broke on the news, and one of the lawyers who was going to be involved in the election protection campaign said, you know, are you sure that you want to make this public? We don't want everybody to be frightened about going out and voting, that they would see that you voted and got arrested, and so consequently they won't vote. Now, myself, I think that's the wrong logic involved in it, because otherwise we would have to roll over for them. But it certainly scared her. As for me, I was out, you know, and about the time that it takes to take you into a municipal precinct, book you in, bond you, and take you out of there. So I was out within 3 hours. And at that time, my son was waiting for me in the front of the police station. I asked him what he'd found out, and he said that he had been transferred from the Election Protection Group to the Jackson County Sheriff's Department and then to the Election Bureau. He was put in touch with someone up there that said, just when your dad gets out, bring him on up and we'll straighten this out for him, acknowledging to my son that, indeed, we had the proper ID while we were out there. So that was probably, to me, a little bit more amazing, was a trip up to the Election Bureau, because we had with us, both of us had four separate forms of ID, which did not require a signature on it. And when we walked in, I talked to a lady named Charlene Davis. She is the GOP head of a bipartisan election board in Eastern Jackson County. And I walked in, and I've talked to her many times. I did recognize her. I don't think maybe she thought that I did. But we walked in, both of us, and when we came in about 2 o'clock that afternoon, she walked up and said, "Would you like to vote?" And I said, "I think so." I was told, my son was told, that we could vote up here, that you would straighten this problem out that we had this morning. She said, "Can I see what ID you brought?" And I said, "Certainly can." I said, "May I ask first for your name?" And she said, "What?" I said, "I would like to have your name so that I'll know who that I talked to and can make a coherent story out of this for anyone I might happen to tell." And she said, it's Charlene. And I said, "Charlene, what?" She said, "Are you threatening me?" I said, "No, I just want to know who it is I'm speaking to." And I said, "I need to know that in order to give it to a lawyer or whomever." And she said, "My name's Charlene Davis." I said, "Well, that's what I thought, Charlene. And you know who I am." I said, "So what are we going to do here?" She said, "Well, let me see what you brought for ID." The first thing we showed her was the card that was mailed out to her. She said, "Oh, yeah, this we aren't considering appropriate ID." I said, "You always have before." She said, "Well, this time we've changed it, and we don't have a signature line on the bottom of it. So we've changed our procedure up here." Now, needless to say, they had told no one about this, including the Secretary of State. I said, "Okay, Charlene, here's my bank statement. Does that work?" And she looked at it, and she said, "Yes, this is good ID." I said, "Well, it wasn't at the precinct, so my son told me when I got out of the Hooskow that you were going to let us vote. So do you want us to drive back to the precinct, and you can call them and tell them that they rejected our ID and they should have accepted it?" She said, well, I don't think so. You might get arrested out there again." I said, "Why? You just told me that I have the proper ID." She said, "Well, yes, but we just don't want to have any problem out there." I said, "Okay, great. You know, meet us out there. Send someone out with us. You know, as long as we can vote at the precinct, that's fine." She said, "No." She said, "What you can do is go ahead and vote here." And she offered to hand us ballots so that we could fill them out in front of her. So I'm thinking, okay, how do I vote in secret? How do I get this ballot out to the rest of the votes in the precinct? There's no envelope. There's no explanation. And my first question was, "Charlene, are you offering us a provisional ballot?" She said, no, this is a regular ballot, and it will be counted with the rest of them." I said, "How?" She said, "Well, you just let me take care of that. Do you want to vote?" And I said, "Well, I'd like to, but I don't see how we're going to work this out." And so she asked 3 or 4 more times, "Do you want to vote?" without being willing to explain anything. I said, "I think I want to make a call to the Secretary of State's office first." Pulled my cell phone from my pocket, and she said, "If you're going to use that cell phone," she began to lose her temper, "if you're going to use that cell phone, then you get out of this building and do it." And I said, "Okay." So we walked outside. I called the attorney who had already been notified down at the Secretary of State's office. He said one thing. He said, "I'm sure glad you called." He said, "I was having a hard time making sense out of this until I talked to you." And he basically could not give us any direction. They tell the election boards what they have to do, what machinery they can pick from, a lot of things, but they have no regulatory ability over them. So the citizen has to deal with the election board directly. I sat there and talked to my son for a second, and I said, you know, I don't think our one vote is going to make a difference in this particular election. I am certain that the people that we're voting for are going to win in the Democratic primary. But I am afraid that if we cast a vote here, that we will set some type of precedent which would allow the election judges at the precinct to throw anybody out and then force them to go directly to the election board. So don't think we want to do that. So I, for one, am going to tell them, no, I don't want to vote. My son decided the same thing. We went back in and talked to them, and their attorney was standing there the entire time that we had talked to Charlene from the time she walked up to us until the time that she left. Indeed, he continued to talk and chat about all sorts of things, the elections in Ohio and Florida, just to talk and then a gabbing for about another 20 minutes. And I told him then we needed to leave, get some other errands done, and then we left. And that's how the day went for us. We ultimately did not get to vote.
After all of that, this is just an amazing story. It's very scary. That's why we wanted to have you on. And I know that you're taking some action about this, and we want to talk about it on the other side of the break coming up here in just about 15 seconds. And then we want to also talk about what your actions have been in Missouri that probably made you a target for some action along these lines. So we're talking to Phil Lindsay, Show Me the Vote from Missouri. This is Vote Rescue Radio. Stay with us.
Uncover the Truth with Catherine Albright, live from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Monday to Friday, right here on We the People Radio Network.
Welcome back, listeners, to Boat Rescue Radio with your host, Vicki Karp.
And Karen Rennick.
And we are talking to Phil Lindsay of Show Me the Vote in Missouri. And he has just gotten to the point in his story here where he was arrested for trying to vote and asked for a photo ID, which is illegal and unconstitutional in the state of Missouri, and yet taken to jail, spent 2.5-3 hours in jail for his trouble. And in the end of the day, at the end of the day, still did not get to vote, which is the worst part of the story. I'm not sure what is the worst part of the story, but what are you going to be doing, or what have you been doing since this took place, Phil? Are you taking legal action here? I think you had mentioned that you might be doing that or thinking about it.
Right, we will be doing that for sure. We had, I think, you know, it, to me, one of the most amazing things that happened during this whole thing was a phone call that I made while I was in jail to a friend of mine in a DFA organization here in Missouri that I was supposed to get with later that afternoon about the victory parties that we were going to have that night. So I called up and I said, Ann, I'm not going to be able to get in touch with you as quickly as leaving this on the recorder, as quickly as I thought. I'm in jail for attempting to vote. And I said, I'll catch up with you when I can. About 6 o'clock that evening, as I am at the victory celebration that was about to start for Jay Nixon, our attorney general, who's running for governor, a phone call came in, and it was from Ann Pritchett. Being here in Kansas City, we're right on the Kansas-Missouri line, so she's over in Kansas, and I was in Missouri. And she got a few details for me. She said, I know you got to go into the celebration in a second. Do you mind if I post this on DU about what happened? DU being democraticunderground.org. It's a blogging site with about 125,000 people. And I said, no, go ahead. That'd be fine. And so when my son and I got back about midnight, there were over 150 comments, and something like 10,000 views had already been given. It's now over 75,000. So the and to my understanding, that's the most on any subject that's been posted in the last 6 years. So it must have really resonated with all of the people who were reading it. And so I sat down and I, you know, gave an account of it, and I posted it. And the next morning, someone had picked it up and they'd taken it to DECOS and Big B and a lot of other places. And so I began getting phone calls back into myself, and a couple of them were from attorneys who said, you know, we handle voter rights things. Some of them were from New York, some of them were from Washington and so on, but they quickly pointed out to me that what had happened to me was that my civil rights had been violated under 42, Section 42 of the U.S. Code, number 1983. In other words, they were acting under color of authority to deprive me of my right to vote. And so all of the individuals that are involved in this will be subject to a lawsuit, both in their professional capacities and in their individual capacities. And how they were unaware that that would happen, I don't know, but we will be filing that for sure. The ticket that they wrote for me was here locally in Independence, was a museum. It said that I had disturbed peace and created disturbance by failure to show the requested ID while attempting to vote. I'm not sure there's ever been a ticket written like that, but it's brought a lot of laughs from folks. But it seems kind of silly, but I think that there was a reason behind that. In Missouri law, a person may not be arrested on their way to the poll, at the poll, or their way away from the poll, except for three reasons: treason, a felony, or disturbing the peace at the polls. And so, you know, guess what I was tagged with? I don't think that was an accident. I think it was thought out beforehand, and I think it was a warning shot at me for the petition that we attempted to push through this year. Had it not had a fair amount of success, I think they'd have just left me alone and called me a crackpot. But when they understood that people were signing this all over the state and that we were structured the way that we were, they realized this is a real threat. If B doesn't get it done this time, then this group of his is liable to get it done later, particularly if we have a bad election. So I have to assume that that's probably the answer to it, rather than just some hard-headed old guy from Independence who was insistent upon giving them only what they could rightfully ask for. That's my thought, and that's the way that we're going to pursue it. Ominously, my ticket that I'll have to go to Independence for is scheduled for 8:30 in the morning on the 11th of September, and so that'll be almost 7 years to the hour when the airplane flew through the building. So rather a cosmic coincidence in that case. But, yeah, when we did, when we formed Show Me the Vote, our whole thought is that, you know, we can beg and we can plead and we can try and persuade legislators. We can try and talk to the election boards, and I'm firmly convinced that that's not going to get us any place. The fact is that for, well, this will be the 100th year in Missouri that we have had the right to petition, but our Constitution specifically says that in Missouri that we have the right to file either a referendum or an initiative petition to change the laws of the state. With the referendum, you have to have 5% of the people who are registered sign the petition. And with an initiative, you have to have 8% of the people sign it. But at that point, All other things being equal, the attorney general looks at it beforehand. The auditor gets the statement. They put it on the ballot, and then you have the people of Missouri decide. So we as individuals in the state of Missouri have a right to make our own laws. So if people are fed up with the machines and the way that we are forced into showing certain IDs or not showing certain IDs or being faced with machines that don't work and so on like that, if we wish to go back to hand counting paper ballots and mailing those results to the precinct door, we have a right to do it, and all we have to do is have about 160,000 signatures in the right areas of Missouri. You have to have it in 6 of the 9 congressional districts that we have, and the law changes. And regardless of what the election directors want at that time, they're going to have to figure out a way to hand cast those ballots and count them for us. And that was what we were pushing for. There are a number of other. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to comment, Phil. It seems to me that if this was an attempt to sort of quiet you or retribution for your efforts to put this initiative through, I think it really backfired, because I think this story is going to galvanize an awful lot of people to make it quite easy to get initiative on the ballot and to get it passed. What do you think?
The last words I had to Charlene and Charlene Davis and the lawyers, I walked out and said, well, we've got things to do. I'm going to bid you all a good day, but I just kind of, you know, cocked my head sideways a little bit. And I said, you know, I think when this all comes out in the wash, you all are not going to be quite so happy that you did this. And it seems to be exactly the case. I couldn't have bought this amount of goodwill and publicity, you know, if I had $1 million to spend up on K Street in Washington. It just absolutely set the grassroots on fire when they found out about this, getting arrested for trying to vote. And but I do think that probably was the motivation. In Missouri, the thing that disenfranchises you, of course, is only a felony or a misdemeanor that is involved with voting. Otherwise, a person, if they're a felon, as soon as they're on parole, they can vote. But if you get so much as a city ticket that has to do with interference of polls, then you forever lose your right to vote. And I think that was maybe the attempt was simply to ruin my reputation.
Sorry, we got a break. Sorry about this. Just hold on to that thought.
Sure.
We'll be right back after this.
I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight? We will run, and we will live. All right? Fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Vicki Karp, and we are in the last segment with our guest for the second half of our show, Phil Lindsay, who is an election integrity activist in Missouri, and we've listened to a very, very harrowing tale of his being arrested for voting or attempting to vote. and simply because he did not supposedly have the correct signed.
Here's a distinction that Phil gave to me is that he had it, but he didn't present it because he knew it was illegal, unconstitutional, and that they were really even being asked for that was unconstitutional, so he refused to show it was the point. Am I right, Phil?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love the part that I was listening to the Braveheart there. I am by ethnic derivation an Irish. And so I come from a stock of people that spent 800 years 30 miles away from the biggest imperial country in the world. And you learn how to survive. When we set up our organization, we didn't want a situation where they could take down, destroy an entire civilization or an entire organization that we have here. And it was our thought, knowing at the time that we created this, let's create something that is an initiative movement, and let's make some noise on this. Let's do it. And then hopefully the other 23 states in the United States that have the same option, and most people don't, most citizens don't know that they have this, maybe they'll follow suit. So ours was, as far as I know, the only one that was actually filed last year and collected on. But if you take a map of the United States and look at it from the Mississippi West, there are only six states in, from the west of the Mississippi that do not have the same laws that Missouri has as far as the right of the people to pass and initiate their own laws. And I think that that terrifies the powers that be, and did in this case. If they took my franchise from me, someone else would pick up the flag just as they did with William Wallace in that movie Braveheart. So Texas, unfortunately, is one of the states that does not have it, but bordering you are Arkansas and Oklahoma, and to the west, every state except New Mexico have the ability to pass these laws by way of the initiative of the people. And even New Mexico has a popular referendum. So these are tools that we have to use when we have finally had a belly full of these little ten gods that attempt to tell us what it is that we're going to do and whether we can recount and whether we can watch it and so on like that. If the people don't like it, then we have a remedy in front of us. So hopefully we can do this in Missouri, and I would love to see other states join in and do precisely the same thing.
So
we're in a process
before,
of...
Phil, before we... finish up here. Both Vicki and I wanted to be sure that you understand that you have definitely overqualified yourself for the Braveheart Award that we that we give our guests when they come on, who have displayed such valor and bravery in the face of authoritarianism. So we usually say we're going to mail you the blue and white paint so you can join with your fellow Braveheart honorees.
Right.
We mean it. We are over the airwave, the radio airwaves. We want to award that to you for what you have been through and your choice. You had the choice.
Mm-hmm.
You selected the choice that ended up in arrest because of the point that you needed to make. And we are very grateful to you for doing that. And we know a lot of other, all of our listeners probably are.
I appreciate that very, very much.
I was wondering, Phil, if you by chance have heard from any activists in any of these other states that do have the initiative, this right to present something so that it would either repeal a law or set in place a new law. In your case, you're trying to get hand counted paper ballots in Missouri, but have you heard from any other activists?
Yes. Part of the organization, as I said, and I think I emailed this to you, that when we decided to form, we wanted to make sure that we were would forever be there. in so doing, and you all have, from time to time, as you know, you get a call down there or get contacted by somebody from Missouri. It comes up to me, and we have little sets of these groups of people all over the state now, strictly from you all. But in addition to that, we have had contacts from a number of states, but there are five others that are particularly working with us at the present time. And we're doing this largely off the board because it's, you know, to go make an issue of it before you're ready to go out to battle, all you do is draw the attention of the people who wish to stop you. But we have in Colorado, and we have in Massachusetts, and we also have in California and Oregon, and Arkansas and Oklahoma, people who are in contact with our people and are speaking to lawyers about the next chance that they get to file, that they will file and hopefully follow suit on this thing. So, you know, that's not enough of them, but it's better than that.
And when's the next time that you all would be able to get something on the ballot in Missouri?
It would be voted on in November of 2010. We will probably file around the 10th or 15th of January of this coming year, get through this election cycle. I would have to say, and I want to give thanks to an awful lot of elected officials here in Missouri that have quietly been helpful to us. What could have cost us tens of thousands of dollars worth of legal fees have been in the drawing up of the initiative that has to be in constitutional legal language and so on like that. It was done for us by Democratic legislators who believed in what we were doing. So I'm not so sure that we might not see either a governor or another elected official in the cabinet come out for this directly, because we have paid a much heavier price in local races at the Senate and the State House than other states possibly have, because the powers that be got a hold of the county clerk's office, and they're holding them. So we're at the present time we are changing our website to be one that has supported the initiative movement itself. We will, you know, kick that back up again after the first of the year, but we're redesigning it after this arrest, that hopefully a week from Monday it will be up and running. And what we're going to do is, in the 114 counties that we have in Missouri, we're going to call these people out. We have 10 you know, call them beliefs of show me the vote. Ultimately, they, you know, it comes down to that the people should have the right to decide how that they wish to vote, the manner that they wish to vote, and it should be comprehensible to the least of us as, by our senses. We can see it. We can feel it. We can know that if somebody says that it happened because we saw it ourselves. And so we are going to pull up that website, and we're going to go from the top of the state to the bottom of the state and from east to west, and ask these people where they stand, and have them commit beforehand, before we get to November, that they will not have people out there illegally asking for ID that does not have to be brought out. We'll be working with a firm that, in this case, a law firm that sued the state of Missouri and Governor Blunt for failure to register people who had sought state services, whether it be Medicaid or go to the licensing bureau. They're supposed to offer this to people every time that they show up, and they have not done that. They won that suit on July 16th, so we will be working with them.
A good legal team going. Phil, we're about to run out of time. Phil, what is the website for Show Me the Vote? Is it showmethevote.org or...
Right. And people can go to it right now. It won't make a lot of sense except for a very pretty picture by George Caleb Bingham of an election 150 years ago, but it is the front page of our website, and you'll see that the web designers are in the process of changing that over. Should be functional week from Monday.
We're going off the air, but we want to thank you so much, and we'd love to have you back after 9/11, after your court date. Thank you, Phil Lindsay.